It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, expectations to be a man or to man up can be harmful to boys and men. We'll talk with a UW student who is trying to change that. First, we're just over 6 months into President Trump's first term, but allegations of Russian involvement during the 2016 election have dogged the Trump administration. The president, his family, and his staff have repeatedly denied these claims. But last month, the New York Times broke the story that Donald Trump Jr. had taken a meeting with a Kremlin-connected Russian lawyer during the 2016 election. At the time, Donald Trump Jr. released a statement saying that the meeting was only about Russian adoptions and wasn't related to the campaign. Emails later revealed that the impetus behind the meeting was a promise of incriminating evidence against then-Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Now, the Washington Post is reporting that the misleading statement Donald Trump Jr. released was dictated in large part by President Trump himself. This potentially puts the president and his inner circle in an awkward position or worse, especially as the investigation into Russian collusion continues. Elizabeth Sherman joins us now to talk about the political and legal ramifications of this news. She's an assistant professor of American politics at American University's School of Public Affairs. Elizabeth, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Judith.
As someone who studies political science and law, what does this news signal to you?
Well, I think that Donald Trump realized that the meeting between representatives of the Russian government, who promised some very incriminating information on Hillary Clinton, as you said, was a huge problem, potentially a legal problem. Remember, Donald Trump and all of his advisors, Kellyanne Conway, everyone on the campaign, Sean Spicer, the whole group said, no way. Never made any connection. This is all fake news, fake news. So when the truth came to light that Don Jr. and Paul Manafort and Jared Kushner had all met with the Russians after all, I think the question became how to limit the damage. So now we know that Donald Trump said, I'll take charge of this. I know how to handle this. So he put out a message, apparently, said, you know, nothing here. Just an innocent chat about, poor Russian children and adoptions.
And what do we know about kind of the sequence of events? This happened during the G20 meeting in Germany. How was it that President Trump got personally involved and drafted this message?
Well, I think that, you know, the news was leaking out. About the fact, as I said, that these people, his closest advisors, Manafort, his son, and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, had met with the Russians, and it was all about damage control. And so, they're on the plane, and you can imagine the scene. Remember, you know, obviously Donald Trump is the patriarch of the family. You know, he's the boss. He's the take-charge kind of guy, and apparently he said, okay, here's the message. Let's put this out there. Very, very innocent meeting. Nothing here. Move on. I think that the concerning part of it is that the president's own lawyer, Mr. Sekulow, I think his name is, he either lied to the public and to the press, or he didn't know that Donald Trump actually wrote this very misleading, untruthful statement. Donald Jr. didn't write that statement. He didn't write this false statement. His father wrote it, pure and simple. And obviously they got together, they colluded on the plane to put out, what there's no other way to put it, Judith. It was fake news to the press and to the public. They just put out this message, nothing to see here, move along. So I think, the question you're asking is, was this illegal? Was this obstruction? It's just raising concerns about the honesty of this entire group. And of course, everyone is wondering if they're lying about this, what else are they lying about? I think also, and you're probably, as a member of the press, just as concerned as I think a lot of people are about the attacks on the press. Basically, ever since this word came out that, Donald Trump wrote the statement, okay, it makes sense that he would. He's not going to leave this up to his, you know, his staff or his underlings or someone else. He's the take charge guy. He wrote it. Okay, he put it out there. But then an officer of the court, the lawyers are all saying, nothing here. It's all fake news. It's all fake news. These are attacks on the press. You know, it's just another example of how the message that comes out day and night from this administration is just one message, which is the press lies to you. The press is an enemy of the people. The press should not be believed, and that's what we're hearing.
I want to go back to something you said, Elizabeth, because you said he was acting as the patriarch of this family, and just today, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders gave a statement saying that the president weighed in as, quote, any father would, end quote. And
yeah.
She said that the matter was of no consequence. It seems like there is a sense that the Trump White House is really functioning more like the Trump business empire in a lot of ways.
Of course, Judith. Absolutely. 100%. Everybody knows that. It's obvious every single day he's the big boss. He ran as the big boss. Look at me. I'm a billionaire. I know how to make things happen. Look at Trump Tower. Look at my properties. I have all these planes. I have all this stuff. He is used to being in charge and telling, you know, his sons, his daughter, do this, do that, you know, do this, do that, follow my orders. And great. Obviously, that worked well for him for a long time. But now he's in some really difficult circumstances. When maybe we fudged a little on the square footage of the condo. I don't know what they used to do. But come on. Once you start lying to the American people, you know, they're going to turn you off. They're just going to turn you off. And I think people are beginning to kind of wake up and smell the coffee that, you know, it's just not working.
Elizabeth Sherman is with us right now. She's Assistant Professor of American Politics at American University's School of Public Affairs. We're talking about the news that President Trump himself had a hand in drafting the statement that Donald Trump Jr. gave regarding the meeting that he had with a Russian lawyer. And so you're talking a lot, Elizabeth, about how this could further erode confidence in the White House and President Trump's honesty, perhaps, in his being forthright with the American public. But let's get down to the nuts and bolts of this. Are there legal implications that are actually actionable?
Well, I don't think it's against the law for a president to lie to the American people. If it were... I'm not so sure we would have had that many presidents who would have stayed in office very long. I mean, a lot of presidents lie to the press, lie to the American people. You know, nothing here, nothing here, move on, move right along, nothing here. So, but the question is, you know, what did the president know? And apparently he knew about this email. I mean, he knew about this meeting. I'm sure he thought, good Lord, this thing is the smoking gun. Because for months he had said there's no collusion, we did not make connections with the Russians, we did not do anything with the Russians to hurt Hillary Clinton, maybe I sold them a condo, I know nothing about Russians. And so now this email chain comes out and everyone, including the special prosecutor, is saying, oh really? So, I mean, I think he was desperate to say there's no there, this was all about adoptions. And then when the actual truth came out, then he changed his story. And he goes, okay, all right. So it was about dirt on Hillary. But anyone would have taken that meeting. And, yeah, they sat down, and you know, but nothing came of it. Really? Are we sure that nothing came of it? Because the next thing we know, you know, as Don Jr. said, wow, we'd love for you to dump some of this, you know, incriminating stuff that you've got later on in the summer. So nobody knows what was actually said. Nobody knows what documents. No one has any idea what went on in that meeting. So, but everyone knows that they took the meeting because they were promised that they were going to get some incriminating evidence on Hillary Clinton. So, yeah, is that a smoking gun? Of course it is. I mean, it just demolished their whole line that there's no there. Now, you know, the president sat down and said, okay, let's let's try and, you know, throw them off. Let's get the press off our tail. Let's get the public. Let's just convince them that this was all about little children who need to be adopted. You know, it just shows that the president is actively involved in trying to throw sand in the gears. And, you know, firing Comey was throwing sand in the gears. Trying to get rid of Jeff Sessions is throwing sand in the gears. And, you know, why is he doing this? That's the question the special prosecutor will ask and answer.
Elizabeth, you said that, you know, people are starting to wake up to what the reality is of this administration. But recent polls have showed that people who voted for Donald Trump still stand by him by an incredibly large margin. And so is there not the risk that this is actually shoring up the argument that President Trump has been making, that it is a witch hunt, that he is under scrutiny in a way that other administrations have not been?
You know, I don't think it is. I don't think that it's a witch hunt to ask and answer your question. But on the question about his supporters, Judith, I think that you have to realize 63 million Americans voted for Donald Trump. Now, who were they, and are they really sticking with him? As you say, registered Republicans are sticking with him. Registered Republicans, Judith, are 25% of the electorate. In other words, the people who vote. Now,
right.
How many people voted in this election? I mean, now we're down to, it was like 58% of eligible voters, right? So, in other words, of the people who actually voted, of the people, you know, of the electorate, 25% are registered Republicans. 40% of all voters, of all registered voters, are independents. That's where he's having some real problems. The independents are leaving. They may have decided for a lot of reasons. I'm not. You know what? You know this whole thing with the Democrats. I'm not going for that. I'm going for this guy. He's a businessman. He says he's going to fix it for whatever reason. Maybe they distrusted Hillary. Maybe they hated Hillary. Maybe they thought she was terrible for whatever reason. But, you know, they might have been, a lot of voters were on the fence. Both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump had the highest disapproval ratings the day of the election of any two candidates in the history of the United States. So what we know is that the rock-ribbed Republicans, as they are always known, are sticking with him. There are not that many of those people. The other people that are sticking with him are the evangelicals. They care about one thing and one thing only, and that is social values, abortion, gay rights. They're thrilled about Judge Gorsuch. Wonderful. They got that. You know, the rest is they could care less. That's all they care about. They're not going to vote for Democrats. The very wealthy are big supporters of Donald Trump. Why? They have two questions for Donald Trump and for, you know, our Republican Congress. They have two questions, which is, when are you going to lower my taxes? And when are you going to get rid of those regulations on my business?
And we'll have to leave it there. Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining us today.
Sure.
Elizabeth Sherman is an assistant professor of American politics at American University's School of Public Affairs. She joined us today to talk about the allegations that President Trump helped to draft Donald Trump Jr.'s misleading statement about his meeting with a Russian lawyer during the 2016 election. Coming up, a UW-Madison student wants to help other men deal with the effects of what he calls toxic masculinity. Stay with us here on Central Time.